Let me wish everyone a happy Mother's Day this morning. With that in view, if you would turn to the book of Ruth, we'll be reading from Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 down through 18. And if your mother is near to you today, I trust that you would give her the proper pampering that she is due. And I say that for the benefit of four boys that I know. So I hope they hear that exhortation this morning. Ruth chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. And it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi. The names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And he lived there about 10 years. Then Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you and your people." And Naomi said, "Return, my daughters, why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And they lifted their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts me from you." And when she saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. Beloved, that's the word of our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have given to us the magnificence of your will for our lives in your word, revealed through the person of Jesus Christ himself. And we ask now, as we take this time to approach your word this morning, that you would speak to us, or let your word be heard this morning. That is our prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If we boil our lives down to its fundamentals, we are left really with one primary element, and that is our relationships with others. We are born into human relationships by necessity. We're born by our mothers through their union with our fathers. There's really no other way to come into this world. And as we journey, as we walk, as Paul says to us, as we run the race through this world, we enter into a number of different kinds of relationships. For example, in our families, we have a mother and a father, at least when we're born. We may also have brothers and sisters. We may have aunts and uncles and cousins. And if we're blessed, we may have grandmothers and great-grandmothers as part of our family. In our jobs, we have relationships. We have bosses. We may have employees. We have co-workers. We have customers. And even in our church, we have fellow church members. We have choir members. We have Sunday school members. We have teachers. And so in our lives, we are engaged in a number of varied relationships as we walk the course given to us by the Lord. And one important aspect of these kinds of relationships is the fact that one person can impact another person in their relationship together. And this passage in Ruth draws our attention to that point as we see these two people, two women primarily. We see a daughter of Israel whose name is Naomi. And we see her daughter-in-law, a Moabite, a non-Israelite, whose name is Ruth. And our focus just for a moment will be on the fact that Naomi, in her love and relationship with her daughter, had an impact on the life of Ruth that changed her life. So who is Naomi exactly? Well, the scripture tells us that she lived during the time of the judges in the Old Testament. And that's the time, the 300-year period, roughly from the time when the Israelites first took possession of the land of Israel in the time of Samuel, who was in fact the last judge of Israel. And it was Samuel, you may recall, who anointed both Saul and David as kings of Israel. And the scripture tells us also that Naomi had a husband. He was from Bethlehem in Judah, and his name was Elimelech. And the scripture also tells us that a famine came into the land. And Elimelech was forced to take his wife, Naomi, and their two sons, and leave Judah and go east into the land of Moab. That's what they had to do. And then in verse 3, rather abruptly, we see that Naomi's relationships began to change almost immediately. They changed drastically, dramatically. First, we read that Naomi's husband died. He died in the land of Moab. And yet she was still left with two sons, and yet over the course of time, they took two wives from the land of Moab. One wife was named Orpah, and the other was named Ruth. But then we also learn, over the course of time, that both of Ruth's sons died as well. And the scripture describes for us Naomi during the course of these events. And in verse 5, the scripture tells us that the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. In other words, Naomi was left alone from her family in the land of Moab. She was the only one left. And I think that's important for us to consider as we continue through this passage in the scriptures. This statement that she was alone, she was bereft. But we can imagine, at least I can, as Naomi left with her husband Elimelech, when they had to leave Judea because there was no food, and search for food and a place to live in Moab, her thinking that this is bad, but at least I have my family. I have my husband. And I have my two sons with me as we travel. And yet, during the course of time, all that she had, all that she loved in the course of her family had died. And she was left alone. And her two daughters-in-law were both Moabites in the land of Moab. This is where Naomi was. These are the circumstances of her life at that time. And then scripture tells us that after the course of time, in a roughly 10-year period that Naomi had lived in Moab, that the Lord once again brought his blessing upon the people in Judea, and they had food once again. And most likely, it was a course of time where over a span where the children of Israel were disobedient to the Lord. The Lord brought difficulty into their lives, and they repented, and the Lord once again brought his blessing. And so Naomi learns that food again is in Judea, and she decides it's time to go back. And the scripture tells us, as she makes her way back, she travels not alone, but she travels also with her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And they, we'd understand, travel this part of the journey with her to give her a final farewell, to say goodbye to her as they travel with her back towards Judah. And then we see as Naomi approaches the point of departure, where she comes to the place where she plans to give her final farewell, we read this in verse 8. Verse 8, she says to both her daughters-in-law, she says, "Go, return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me." And she says, "May the Lord grant you that you find rest, each in the house of your husband." Now, Naomi loved her daughters-in-law. For some of us, that may be hard to understand, but she did. She loved them, and she cared for them. She did not want to be separated from them. That was not her wish. But for Naomi, she understood that they needed husbands in that day. And the likelihood of them finding husbands if they stayed with her was not very big. And so in her thinking, the best thing for them, was to go back to Moab, take husbands who can take care of them, who can care for them, provide for them. That was her thinking. What we see in verse 10, they said, they wept, they cried. They didn't want to leave. They said, no. We will go with you back to your land, back to your people. But Naomi said no. She said no. Verse 11, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb," she said, "that they may be your husbands?" In other words, she said, my sons are gone. My sons are gone. You need to go back to your people. That's your way of survival. That's your way of being able to live in this world." And then she does something very interesting, very dramatic, quite honestly. She brings her argument to a close with these words in verse 13. They may startle you a bit. They did me. In verse 13, she says, "No, my daughters," and she says this, "it is harder for me than it is for you. For the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." She says, "The hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." And she says to her daughters-in-law, "It's bad for you that you've lost your husband. I understand that. It is bad. But it's worse for me. The Lord has turned his favor against me." That was her thinking. That's where she was, in the land of Moab, without her husband and her sons. And this raises, at least again, in my thinking, a question. With that being said, why would Orpah and Ruth want to go back with her to Judah to begin with? Why would they want to be with her? Well, I would answer it in that question in this way, just to make a statement. I think it goes without saying that our family knows us the best. Our family knows us better than anybody else, for better or for worse. They know us. They know us. And Orpah and Ruth watched. They watched as the prospects of Naomi deteriorated into almost certain poverty for the rest of her life without a husband and without sons. And many in these circumstances that Naomi found herself in, many in those circumstances would respond very much like the wife of Job responded. Do you remember what she said to her husband? At his worst, she said to him, "Why do you still hold fast to your integrity?" In other words, why do you still trust God? She said to him, "Curse God and die." That was Job's wife's solution. And that's not what Naomi did. What did Orpah and Ruth see in their mother-in-law? What did they see? they see Naomi grieve the loss of her husband and her sons. Sure, they saw that. Did they see Naomi's faith shaken at the loss of her family? I think most probably they did. We can almost hear Naomi cry out to the Lord in such circumstances where she might say something like, "This can't be right. This can't be. Why would you bring this into my life? Why would you do this to me?" She cries out. Why? But let me ask you something else. Did they ever see, and it's not in the scripture, the scripture's silent here, but did they ever see Naomi turn her back on the Lord her God and look for another God in the land of Moab? Did they ever see that? No. No, she was faithful. She was faithful to her Lord. They had seen Naomi. They'd seen her worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They'd seen her in the midst of her great distress and agony, that the Lord remained her God. And Orpah and Ruth knew it. They saw it and they knew it. And so when Naomi heard that there again was food in the land of Judah, in her home land, she desired to go back. She wanted to go back and live with her own people. She wanted to go back and worship with her own people, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That was her heart's desire. And that's what she had determined to do. And so she heads back. And the question that begins to emerge now in this passage is, what did Orpah and Ruth do? What did they do? Well, verse 14. They lifted their voices and they wept again. They didn't want to leave their mother-in-law. And then the passage tells us, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth, what did Ruth do? She clung. She clung. And so Naomi watched as Orpah turned and made her way back to the land of Moab, back to the land of her own gods. But even as she did that, Ruth had taken her arms and wrapped them around Naomi and would not let her go. She wouldn't let her go. And yet Ruth says, Naomi says to her, "Orpah has gone back to her people and to her gods. And Ruth, it's time for you to go back as well." And Ruth responds to that. And she responds with some of the most beautiful language we see in the scriptures. And I'm going to read it again, beginning in verse 16. And listen to what Ruth says. She's a Moabite. She's not a Jew. And she says this to her mother-in-law, to Naomi. She says, beginning in verse 16, she says, "Do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go," she says, "I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people," she says, "shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. When I am buried, where you are buried, I am buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you from me." That's what she said. Ruth is saying, in essence, to her mother-in-law, "I cannot go back to Moab. I must go with you. I must live with you and with your people. I must go, because your God must be my God, because he is the one true God," she says. "Everything has changed in my life," in essence, she says. "Everything has changed because what I have seen in you. I must go with you," Ruth says to Naomi. And beloved, this is not a matter in Naomi's life of being able to teach with precision all the ins and outs of the worship of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. That's not what she's done here. That's not to say that, but it is to say this, that Naomi lived a life before Ruth that was life-changing. She lived a life before her daughter-in-law that was truly life-changing, a life that reflected the God whom she worshiped. And in verse 18, when she saw that she was determined to go with her, basically, Naomi said no more to Ruth. She said, "Okay, let's go." We draw this to a conclusion this morning by asking a question. It's this question. How do we calculate the impact of a life in this world given over to Christ? That's the question. How do we calculate a life that's truly given over to the Master, to the Savior in this world? Naomi's impact on Ruth in her life was incalculable. In fact, we can only be calculated in terms of eternity. Now, what do I mean when I say that? Only in eternity. Well, let me say it this way. The book of Ruth that we've read from this morning, in a sense, is a bridge. And it bridges the time of the judges to the time of 1 Samuel and the emergence of David the king. And if you read the full account of the book of Ruth, it's only 4 chapters. If you read all of Ruth, you'll find at the end, during the course of that book, that Ruth does go back to Judah with Naomi. They did go back, and they did go back destitute. They were poor. That was true. And yet, through God's providential hand, through God's will and work in the life of Naomi and Ruth, Ruth met a man whose name was Boaz. And if you read the story, it's quite intriguing. Through the hand and the help of Naomi, eventually Ruth marries Boaz. And they have a son, and his name is Obed. Back, Ruth is married, they are provided for, she has a son whose name is Obed. And I'm going to read for you from Ruth chapter 4 and verse 14. I want you to listen to the words of Ruth to her mother-in-law after she had this son. In Ruth 4 verse 14, we read these words, and this is Ruth speaking to her mother-in-law. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today. And may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons," she said, "has given birth to him." And then verse 16, "And Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and became his nurse." Only the Lord can do that. Now, what's interesting about the book of Ruth, it comes to closure with a genealogy. In the very end of that genealogy, we read this. And it says, "And to Boaz was born Obed," as we just saw. "And to Obed was born Jesse. And to Jesse was born" who? "Jesse was born David." So from Ruth and Boaz came Obed, who became the grandfather of David the king. And 1,000 years later, from David the king would come who? The king. Christ Jesus the Lord. And so we see in this account, through God's perfect, everlasting, loving, providential hand, that during that dark time in the land of Moab, the Lord took a young lady who followed her mother-in-law to the land of Judah to worship the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to trust in the fact that the Lord would send the one whom he promised to send, the Savior, Messiah, Christ Jesus. He came, if you will. He came from this little Moabite woman, whose life was changed and touched by her mother-in-law, who was faithful to her Lord. We think about these things, and I think this morning many of us have family members or friends, but particularly family members. Perhaps it's grandchildren, great-grandchildren, who we love and we pray for. And the times sometimes seem very dark. And we ask the Lord, help us in these things. Pray for our grandchildren to come to Christ. We cry out to the Lord. We cry out. And yet we see what the impact of one who simply lives before the Lord, what kind of impact one can have in the life of a child, the life of a grandchild, simply by being faithful to the Master. It's So I ask, how can we calculate the impact of a life fully given over to our Lord? We may not know, but our Lord certainly does. So let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you that you love us. You've called us for a purpose, and that purpose includes, Lord, honoring you and worshiping you. And we thank you for your word. We thank you for the life of Ruth and for Naomi and her faithfulness to you. And Lord, even in our darkest times, you provide a way, provide a means, and that your plan goes unabated, all to your glory, all to the work of Christ. I pray, God, for those this morning who may not know you, who may not have a relationship with you in this way, we cry out to them for them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.